Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers.
Planted and growing. Hey, you are becoming more like Christ. I've really enjoyed this month preparing this series and ministering, and you see so much fruit in what God is doing. Thank you so much for the comments and the reach outs and the discussions that we've had about our growth this month. And just to recap for a moment, looking at the slide today, we saw this in week one. You're growing in the image of God. Everybody say image of God. That's so that when other people encounter you, they encounter less of you and more of Jesus. Thank God. In week two, we talked about how you're growing in the Spirit of God, so that you're led by the Spirit of God. You're taught, you're inspired, you're empowered by God's Spirit every day. Last week, we focused on the fact that we're growing in the mind of God, to think like the Lord, growing to think like Jesus, to operate every day in His mindset and in His attitudes. Aren't you glad about that? Thank God. And then today, you're growing in the purposes of God. Everybody say purposes of God. Come on. Why are we doing that, Pastor Brandon? Well, it's so that you can fulfill the great thing that God has for you, that He set apart, set you apart to fulfill. And everybody in here has got a great purpose from God. Can y'all receive that today? There's never been a more deliberate and more purposeful person than Jesus. And it is our love for Him that drives us, compels us to do great things for His kingdom. So this morning, let's begin our reading before we pray in the book of John, chapter 21, and verse number 15 through 17. How many love the Word right now? Come on. We love the Word. God bless you. This is Jesus having a discussion with Peter. And the Lord is restoring Peter, and He's setting him forth in His great purpose. And here's what Jesus said. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we just love you. And God, I pray that today is an impactful moment in this message. God, your Spirit is here. Your presence is here. So God, today I pray that you motivate your people. God, that you instill in us a desire to follow hard after you, to love you more, to serve you more. God, help us to discover and fulfill a great desire to do your great purposes in our life. We lean on your Word today because We need your word, Lord. We love your word. And we thank you for giving us your word today. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Come on, if you love him, can you say a good amen this morning? Amen. God bless you. One more time. Let's clap and applaud Jesus and welcome him in this place. God bless you this morning. As we read the scripture text this morning, did you notice that Jesus had a very specific purpose for Peter? He wanted Peter to devote his life to taking care of his sheep. What an amazing story. And maybe you're familiar with how they got to that point. Peter had denied the Lord three times. He had promised the Lord, "Lord, if they come to kill you, I promise I'm going to die right alongside you." But when his life was up against it and he was really facing that challenge, he did what Jesus said he would do. He denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed that morning. And in this moment, Jesus was restoring Peter and setting Peter forth in his great purpose. But before he could do that, Jesus wanted to make absolutely sure that Peter understood that his motivation, his inspiration for serving God had to be centered on this burning question: do you love me? Do you love me? And so this morning, I want to challenge us with just some thoughts today and this training. And man, how I've enjoyed it this week. And next week, we're going into a brand new series. But this month, we've been growing in all these facets. But today, let's grow in the purpose of God. That question, do you love me? It's the same question that God is asking us today. Are we willing to set our eyes off of our own desires and intents of our own hearts and love him deeply? And when we do that, church, he'll always do what he said he'll do in his word. He will move upon your life to have courage and to have great faith and to have the vision. Everybody say vision. Come on. He'll have the vision to accept your great purposes that he set forth in your life and set you apart for you to accomplish. Praise God. Praise God. So just for the next few moments, I want to examine this essential question today. How can I grow and how can I develop the real purposes that God has for me? God has a challenge for believers this morning. And we're going to get there in five steps. Just five steps today. Are you ready? Come on. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Step number one this morning. It's time to really believe that God has a purpose for your life. I said, it's time to really believe that God has a purpose for you. This is the biggest hill to climb for many Christians in our time. So many people are caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, spinning their wheels and striving to make it and make ends meet that they've forgotten that part of being born again is having a great big dream for God. Amen. Oh, it's easy this morning to be full of dreams for ourselves. How we spend our time, our efforts, our thoughts towards getting what we want out of life. In fact, it's the way that we're brought up and conditioned to live in this society. But there is a kingdom principle this morning that we don't need to forget about, church. It's a principle that rescues us from the rat race and sets us up in the favor of God. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. Jesus just said this, and you know it. He said, stop worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. Stop worrying about what you're going to wear and trust that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. And then turn around, and when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Father will add all these things to you. That's the kingdom principle that snatches us right out of the rat race. And once we get that priority in line with him first in number one spot where he belongs, church, you can be free to finally start believing that he's got something great in his kingdom for you to fulfill. Here's what the word says about this. Amazing scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Praise God. This is a scripture that will snatch you right out of the world's rat race and set you apart for God's great purposes in your life. If you've ever wondered, why am I really here? Here it is. This is it. You were created with a brand new life in Jesus Christ because he has good works for you to do. And it was so important for you to fulfill them that the Bible says that God prepared your vision, your great works in advance, and now he expects you to start walking in them. Come on, somebody. It was so important to God that he prepared them for your life ahead of time, in advance, and now he wants you to walk in them. That means that you're not just saved from something, church, you're saved to something. Can I say it one more time? You're not just saved from something, you're saved towards something. And church, hear me, it's time to start believing it so you can begin to stir up your big dreams for God and start doing it. Can y'all receive it today? That's just step number one. How many are ready to finally believe that God's got something great for you to do? Somebody might say, "Pastor Brandon, it's too late for me. I missed all my chances." No, you didn't miss any chances. He's got a second chance and a third chance. He's got something great for you to do. And I tell you, like I told my kids growing up, you need to look ahead and look back at the same time. Think about what you're going to be saying years from now. You'll be glad if you go ahead and start today. He'll work the great thing in your life. You can look back and say, "Hey, I'm so glad I started that day. June 25th. I'm so glad that I got rid of that old way of thinking that God can't do anything special through me in my life. And I started that day to say yes to the dream for God." And now years later, you can look back and say, "You know what? I'm so glad I did." Amen, amen, everybody. Step number two. Just a few truths this morning. You'll fulfill your great purpose when your faith is alive. How many got alive faith this morning? Alive faith this morning. Let your faith come alive. You will grow to fulfill your great purposes when your faith is really alive. One more time with boldness. Everybody say alive. Do you have a living faith this morning? Everyone in here has experienced life's great obstacles. You've experienced life's ups and downs. You've experienced great tragedies, disappointments. You've experienced discouragements. Issues have tried to rob you of what your great faith in what God can do. But please hear me. There's a great place in faith that when you remember all that God has done for you, and when you recall the faithfulness and the consistency of God in your life, it'll stir your faith. And when you just consistently praise him and serve him in spite of all you've been through, there's something amazing that will happen in your life, like a switch being flipped in your life. Here it is right here. Your faith will come alive. So that you start believing not just in what God can do, but you'll finally start believing and having faith in what God can do through you. There's a difference. How many realize there's a difference? Sometimes it's easy to go back to say, "Well, God has been there before. He's been faithful. He's done it, this and that." But you know what? It's time for some of God's children to start believing that God won't just do it. He'll do it in you. He'll do it through you. It's a powerful switch that needs flipped in a lot of people's lives. It's powerful. And that lifestyle is evident when you start getting motivated to do great things for God. When you can't stop thinking about the possibilities, of what might happen if you finally step out in great faith and do the great work that God has got for you to do. And I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what your dreams are for God this morning, but we're growing, we're planted and growing in the purposes of God in this church. I want everybody who comes and darkens the doors of this church to come in here into a vibrant culture of faith and belief where you're going to leave here knowing that God can use you no matter what. Let your faith come alive this morning. Here's what the book of James said about having a living faith. Here's what he said. He says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? James is getting just a little bit confrontational right there when he asks, do you even want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, are you ready to deal with what dead faith looks like? Are you ready to deal with what dead faith looks like? And that teaching is so straightforward. Dead faith is just this. It's when your faith does not motivate you to do things for God and for others for no other reason than because of what Jesus has done for you. It's all the reason that we should need. An alive faith gets up every day and says, you know what? I'm so thankful for the change in my life that Jesus has made. And because he changed me, because he forgave me, because he set me free, because he gave me a brand new life and finally let me experience real love and real peace in my life, I must get up today and do something great for him in return. I must be motivated and inspired because of what he did in my life. And if you want to know what dead faith looks like, it's when you don't think about doing anything for God. Y'all ain't hear me this morning. I'm encouraging you with this because I want you to, your faith to come alive and let this work in your life. Let his work drive you. Let his work compel you to step up and step out in great faith and do the things that God has for you to do. Praise God. Who's ready to let their faith come alive? Unfortunately, in our culture, most of us have been conditioned to think that a living faith means I can believe God for what I want. That's really unfortunate. Yes, we can believe God for the stuff, but that's about this deep, guys. I'm talking about a living faith that takes you further than self-service. You ain't hear me this morning. A living faith, according to the word, a living faith causes you to get up in the morning and begin to do for God, to dream big for God. Causes you to want to have an impactful life for Jesus, to fulfill his great purposes. That's what a living faith is supposed to do. And according to the book of James, if you don't have those purposes churning and working in your life, we might need to examine where we are in relation to living faith. Can y'all receive it this morning? Look at step three. Fulfill your purpose because of your sincere love for Jesus. Don't you love the Lord? Just a little while ago, as Pastor Mike and the team were leading, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. For so many people, that was true this morning. But for others this morning, it was a slow, repetitive song. It was just an opportunity to sit there and give it this. And I look at people like that sometimes and I wonder, is that the way they treat their spouse? I'm sorry, forgive me. You'll fulfill your purpose because of your deep, sincere love for Jesus. We began this message by looking at the restoration of Peter and the intense way Jesus had Peter declare that he loved the Lord. Here's what Jesus has to say about that. Look at John 14 in your screen. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will manifest myself to him. You can think about that word manifest as being revealed. Or he'll show up. Oh, I just want to be with you. When you love him, he attaches a promise to that level of love. If you love him, he'll show up. Come on, somebody. He had Peter declare three times, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me, Lord? You know all things. You must know how deeply I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. Too often, church, hear me please. We assume that the prerequisite to having a great purpose from God is great giftedness, or we assume that it has to do with some kind of incredible talent, maybe even impressive academic credentials. For some people, we think the prerequisite to being great for God is having a lot of money. But Jesus didn't ask Peter about his skills. Jesus didn't ask Peter about his experience. He didn't ask Peter how much money he had. He didn't ask Peter how gifted he was to serve his purpose. No, Jesus simply asked him this, do you love me? Come on, somebody. Do you love me? And so I want to leave us with this morning on this point. The great major requirement for fulfilling a great purpose for the Lord is being in love with Jesus. Being in love with Jesus. You'll fulfill a great purpose. You'll finally be able to get your eyes off of all the worries and the burdens and the things that keep you tied into that rat trap and that rat race of this world and fall in love with Jesus. Oh my goodness. I've learned this in my life growing up and serving the Lord in ministry all these years. I can tell you right now, the Lord promises a great peace because he's the Prince of Peace. And the on ramp to that amazing peace from God is just loving him so much that when you're in his presence, you don't need anything else. That's how you get the peace of Christ. That's how you let the Prince of Peace reign in your life, is to love him so deeply and so thoroughly that when you're alone in his presence with your hands raised or on the floor with your face in the carpet, just saying, Lord, I love you. I just want to be near you. I just want to be around you, Lord. Just touch me right now, God. Just give me you. And when that becomes your attitude, you know what? All those bills just kind of slip away, and all those worries and all that garbage you've been going through just kind of slips away, and his presence reminds you that the Heavenly Father loves you and you are his child, and he's going to see to it that you have all you need. And all you've got to do is love him. You just have to love him. You just have to love him. Peter, do you love me? That requirement to fulfill a great purpose is being in love with Jesus. Jesus asked him three times to be crystal clear. Nothing is more important than a passionate, deep, growing, and overflowing relationship with Jesus. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen this morning. Yes. And it leads us right into step four. Please understand this morning. You got to let your purpose come from the overflow of your relationship with Jesus. Come on, everybody say overflow. Your purpose is going to come from the overflow of your relationship with the Lord. Every person in here today is passionate about something. For some people this morning, it's their job. Or maybe it's their business. For some people, it may be your stuff. It may be the stuff that you've acquired over the course of your life from working hard or investing. And for some people, it's your family, it's your kids, maybe it's your marriage. But we're passionate about something. For some people, it's your interest and your hobbies, and those are the things that occupy all of your ambitions and your leisure thoughts and your time. And it's all right, church, to be passionate about all those things. God would have you enjoy them and find success in them. But if you're born again this morning, hear me out. If you're born again this morning, you should have a passion about the Lord Jesus. If you're born again, you should have a passion about Jesus that creates an overflow of his love and an overflow of his mission, the kind of overflow that other people can view your life and see coming forth from your life. They should hear it in your words. They should see it in your actions. We need to understand this and be willing to look inside our own lives and gauge the passion level that we're carrying for God. Gauge the passion level that you're carrying for God this morning. Guys, I can tell you right now, I'm talking to everybody in here, man, because all of us need a good old dose of passion about Jesus. It's okay to be passionate about the other things in your life. Just make sure that you're most passionate about him. I have things that I dearly love. I love to do, love to enjoy, love to invest in, love to spend my time thinking about, and things that I love doing. But I can tell you this. It's one of the things that helps me gauge my passion level. When I lay down at night and my dreams become to be stirred, I always go back to what I can do for God. Thank God. We need to understand that. So I challenge us this morning to gauge that commitment and that passion level that you carry for God today. We need to see this today and understand. Look at number 5 in your message guide and on your screen. Let's understand this today. What we do for God is only a reflection of the relationship we have with God. I want us to look closely at that one more time. What we do for God is only a reflection of the relationship we have with God. If God gets the leftovers of your time, it's a reflection of the relationship that we have with him. If God gets the leftovers of your giving, if God gets the leftovers of your interest, if you're just giving him a tip on Sundays and Wednesdays and throwing Jesus a bone and coming in here to punch the religious clock and just so that you can feel good about the fact that you came to church on a Sunday morning, then the real tale there, church, is how passionate you are about Jesus. If you're going to fulfill a great purpose for him, it's going to run out real quick. This week I've been reading about missions and amazing people that have done amazing things for God. And I ran across the amazing story of missionary Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was one of the most passionate people who ever lived for Jesus. And I wanted to share this moment about her with you. It really motivated me. Look at this picture of Amy. Amy was a missionary, an Irish missionary in Donavore, India. Here she is in this picture taking care of two little Indian children. She started an orphanage there in India, and she served that orphanage for 55 years. She spent most of her time focusing on liberating young girls and rescuing them from the slavery of becoming temple prostitutes. It was what drove her and motivated her to move to India in the first place. Everybody who knew Amy said that she had the most intense love for God and love for people. Oh, people like that really get me fired up for God. One of the things that she did was she wrote a lot of books about how to be a missionary and how to love and serve the Lord and how to serve and love people. And here's what she said in one of her books. She talked about love that sets others free. She said this, She said, God wants lovers. Oh, how tepid is the love of so many who call themselves by his name. How tepid is our own love, even my own, in comparison with the lava fires of his eternal love. I pray that you may be an ardent lover, the kind of lover that sets others free. Praise God. There's not a more beautiful or greater motivation for any of us this morning than to grow to fulfill a purpose of burning so hot for God that other people are changed because of the way that his love and his grace overflows from our life into their life. Come on, don't you want that this morning? And then in our final step today, we're going to keep that passion and stay on purpose. You're going to exert a commitment to maintain that fire and that purpose. Look at number 5. I'll stay on purpose by building my relationship with Jesus every day. Everybody say building. Building it every day. You know, sometimes we forget that Jesus is not a religion, he's a relationship. And I want you to know this morning that if you treat Jesus with a rote, religious, churchy, as a thing to just go through every week on Sundays and Wednesdays, and if that's your attitude and your passion level this morning about the Lord, your motivation to pursue his purpose will burn right out. Just like all of your friendships and just like your marriage, you have to invest every day and build your love life with the Lord. Every day. Come on, somebody say every day. Every day. It has to happen every day. What does that look like? Look at number 6. You need to do this. I'll build my relationship with Jesus by giving him the big 3 every day. I'll give him my time. I'll give him my communication. I'll give him my trust every day. It's not even hard. It's just like a relationship or a friendship that you get in your physical life. We develop that passion and that relationship the same way, giving him some time. I've been thinking about my relationship with Karen this week as I wrote this message. And we have an anniversary coming up later this summer. 29 years this year. Amen. Thank God. And I've thought about this all week. How in the world has she done it? And when I got to the point in this message, just, I can't think of a more practical example. We have a very passionate relationship. We love each other and are absolutely committed to each other because we invest in one another every day. Amen. Every day. She's going to get my time every day, and she's going to give me hers. We're going to communicate every day, and we're going to do something every day to demonstrate that we trust one another every day. Guys, those are the same principles that come in with your relationship with Jesus. That's how you maintain the big 3 in your life. Give him your time today. So I'm wrapping this thought up today as we pray. You're going to fulfill a great purpose, but it's going to be because you're passionately in love with him. My first question is this. Are you building that relationship every day? This is the one that challenged me yesterday when I wrote this. Please hear me. How does the time that you've spent in the last 24 hours, what does it say about the depth and passion of your love for Jesus? Just the last 24 hours, what does that say about your depth and your passion for the Lord? Have you thought about him? Oh, come on. Not about the fact that you got to get up in the morning and go to church. Oh, I'm not talking about church right here. Listen, if you get this passionate about Jesus, you will not rest until you have joined with his body, the church, in unity and commitment and purpose and vision. I'm not talking about religion and church and anything. I'm talking about today your purpose that's fueled and driven and compelled because you just love him that much. In the past 24 hours, have you spoken of him?
Yes.
Or has the narrative of your life and your family been all about work and hobbies and chores and issues? Don't serve the gods of this day. The gods of this day right here that are snatching people right and left are easy. Entertainment, sex, y'all hear me now? And government. Those are the three things right there. The three false gods that are rampant in our era right there. It occupies people's minds. Entertainment, sex, and government. Right there. If you spend more time thinking or talking about any of those three, man, we got to get with Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody. Most importantly this morning, forget the last 24 hours. What do you need to say to him right now? What do you need to say to him right now? You're going to become more like Christ by being so deliberate and fulfilling a great purpose. But it begins with your walk with him. Your love for Jesus, just like Peter. Peter, I've got something great for you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. I'm glad that you forgive me. I'm glad that I forgave you for denying me and all that stuff that went on. But here's the most important thing, Peter. Peter, aren't you a fisherman? Yeah. I just imagine it. You're a fisherman. But do you love me? What does your love of Jesus look like today? Come on, are y'all thinking about this right now? What do you need to say to him right now in this place? Lord, I love you, Jesus, Jesus. Y'all stand with me, please, all over the room. Begin to talk to him. Whatever it is that you need to say to him right now, please start saying it to him right now. Just say it to him right now.